You know, we live in a day when we really don't want to be accountable to anyone, even ourselves. We try to say, well, I'm not accountable because it was so-and-so's fault. It was my parents' fault. It was my background. It was my lack of whatever. We are accountable, but we don't want to know that. And we say, even if God is sovereign, then how can I be accountable? Well, that's the question we'll answer today. To the close of Daniel chapter 4, we saw that magnificent, magnificent statement of Nebuchadnezzar's. Remember, Daniel chapter 4 is Nebuchadnezzar's story told by Nebuchadnezzar. And he tells how when he finally came to his senses, when his mind and his reason was restored to him, when he was no longer acting like an animal, crawling around on the ground, eating the grass of the field, having his hair grow like feathers and his nails like claws. But finally, when he came to his senses and his sovereignty was restored to him, he made this incredible, incredible statement. And I would suggest, my friend, that you memorize Daniel chapter 4, verse 34, 35. Now, you don't have to memorize the first part of the verse that says, but at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. But this is where I would start memorizing. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion. Now let's just pause there for just 1 minute. I want you to see something. God has always reigned and God will always reign. That means that he is sovereign over all. It goes on to say his kingdom endures from one generation to another generation, from generation to generation. He's always been sovereign. He will always be sovereign. Now, if that is true, and it is true, it ought to cause you just to breathe a deep sigh of relief. Because so many times what we think is we think the devil has blindsided God. We think that fate has overcome God and this is fate that has happened to us. Now, if you want to be in the hands of fate, fine. If you want to be in the hands of the devil, fine. But I want to tell you something. God is over fate. God is over the devil. And we're going to see that as we go through some very important scriptures. But as I told you in our last program, people have told me no other teaching has helped me as much as understanding that the Word of God, understanding for myself that the Word of God teaches that God is in charge, that He rules supremely. You say, but does He hold me accountable? Yes, He holds you accountable, and we're going to see that. You say, but those two things don't fit together. I know in your finite human mind and in my finite human mind, it does not fit together. But you see, we're not God. And God says in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are so much higher, and my thoughts are so much higher than yours. So what we have to do is we have to come to God and say, God, you know, I can't figure this out. I can't figure out if your sovereign and if your dominion is from everlasting to everlasting and your kingdom endures from generation to generation, that you, being God, would allow what you've allowed. I can't figure that out. And God says, you know, you don't have to figure it out. All you have to do is believe. Because the Christian life is lived by faith. It says we believe, and in believing, then we receive Christ. And it says the just shall live by faith, from faith to faith. It's always by faith. It's always finding out what does God say and then living accordingly, applying it in every aspect of our lives, applying it at home, applying it at the workplace, applying it in relationships, applying it in parenting if you're a parent, applying it as a single if you're a single. We are to find out what God says, and then we're to do it. All right, it goes on to say this, verse 35, and you ought to memorize this too. And all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing. In other words, who is going to give God counsel? Who is going to tell God what to do? I mean, he goes through this scenario in the book of Job, and he says, Job, where were you? Where were you when I made the heavens? Where were you when I suspended the earth in space? Where were you? You weren't there. He says, who's my counselor? There's no counselor. So God regards, he regards all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will. Now, I want you to see where he does according to his will. He does according to his will in the host of heaven. That means if you would take a triangle and you would put it at the top of the page, and that triangle would represent God. And then down at the bottom of the page, you would put a semicircle that represented earth. And you would put some people down there on earth. Then you would come back up, and between God in heaven and earth, what you would see is there's a whole angelic host. There's a host of good angels. There's a host of bad angels. The head of the good angels, you would put a halo on top and a smile on their face. The bad angels, you would put a downturned mouth and the halo under their chin because they're fallen angels. You would put over those fallen angels a caricature, but he's not a caricature. He's a character, but he's not a caricature. You would put a caricature of the devil just in symbolizing all this so that you understand. And that caricature of the devil, I shouldn't use that word anyway, that picture of the devil would show that God is over the good angels, God is over the bad angels, and God is over Satan, the serpent of old, the devil who has deceived the whole world and who rules over the whole world under God's authority. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19 says that. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. All right, so what you have here is you have God ruling. Here's God with the triangle. Underneath are the angels, the good and the bad, and the devil. God does according to his will in the army of heaven, among these hosts of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth. And you would continue to memorize this. And no one can ward off his hand. In other words, the minute God gets ready to move, the minute he gets ready to act, if he decrees something, no one can stop it. No one can cancel that decree. No one can ward off his hand. And then it says, or say to him, what hast thou done? What have you done? You can't say that to God. I mean, you can say it to God, obviously, but you cannot legitimately call God to give an account for himself. Because he's sovereign, because his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation, because he's God, because he is infinite wisdom, because he is infinite power, because he is omnipresent. There's no place where he's not. There's nothing that goes unnoticed by God. He is altogether I am. I am everything and anything you will ever need. I am. I am the self-existent one. I am Alpha. I am Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. I am the God who is now, who was, and who is to come. I am God. And this is what you and I need to understand. Because when calamity comes, when circumstances come that we don't understand, so many times we panic. We absolutely panic. And we think, you know, what's going to happen now? But we can breathe a sigh of relief, and we can act in faith if we understand that God is sovereign. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You say, but what about all my mistakes? Well, you know, in the awesome sovereignty of God, God even overrules in all of our mistakes. He covers, His sovereignty covers our wrong decisions. You say, well, then that just gives me an excuse to behave any way I want. Oh, no. Because don't forget, you may not want to be accountable, but you are accountable. When Jesus Christ comes, Revelation 22:12, He says, behold, He is coming, and His reward is with Him to give to every man according to his deeds. So your deeds make you accountable to God. You're going to answer for your deeds, for the way that you live. If you purposely choose not to believe God and not to obey God, although His sovereignty rules over all, and although because He's God, He's able to make it work together for good, you will be held accountable. You cannot hoodwink God. You cannot blindside God. The devil can't blindside God. Fate and circumstances cannot blindside God. You see, we came up with that philosophy of fate. It's fate. It's just que sera, sera. What will be, will be. It is not fate. It is God. It is God. People, there's a calamity. They say it's Mother Nature. No, it's not Mother Nature. It is Father God. And if you can understand that, it will bring great peace. I'm going to jump very quickly to Romans chapter 8 because I want you to see this passage in the context of this. And if you have a Bible and you're able to open that Bible without getting in trouble, then open it. Romans chapter 8, because you need to know where it is in the Bible. You need to have it on the side of the page, and you need to highlight it or underline it or do something with it. And listen to what he says. He says in Romans chapter 8, and we know, and to know there is with an absolute certainty. That's the word know. There's several words for know in the Greek, but this is with an absolute certainty that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, causes is in the present tense. God keeps on causing all things to work together for good. The good, the bad, and the ugly. God, because He's sovereign, so weaves those that it's going to end up for your ultimate good or for the ultimate good of others. God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. And then he goes on to tell us something else that is absolutely awesome. We'll look at it right after this break.
We spent 3.5 hours in the Word today, and it flew by because we're doing so much in observing so many different parts of the text. It changed my life and helped me own my faith instead of depending on people for my faith. So I would strongly encourage anybody who's even considering it or has thought about it, please come, because it'll change your life.
Go to precept.org/bootcamp to register today. What would it look like for you to impact the next generation? As children grow up, they have lots of questions about life. What if there was a way to help them discover the answers for themselves? Answers that can only be found in the truth of God's Word. At Precept Ministries International, we have created the Discover for Yourself, or D4Y series, to help the little ones in your life do just that. These hands-on books teach the basic skills of Bible study to children as young as 8 years old, unlocking the door to a lifetime of discovering God's Word. Throughout the month of May, for a gift of any amount, we are offering a copy of our best-selling D4Y title, plus a mini-series of 5 Precepts for Life episodes with Kay Arthur and Jana Arndt. Go to precept.org/Jonah to find out more.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome back, beloved. I just love studying the Word of God with you. And I love hearing from you. I mean, just get on that internet. Send me emails. I love knowing that you're there. And I love hearing your thoughts. And I love getting your questions. So keep on talking to me. All right. So many times what happens is we memorize Romans 8:28, and this is a verse that you need to memorize. It goes hand in hand. It's hand in glove, so to speak, with Daniel chapter 4, verse 34 and 35. But we stop there. And we stop there and we think, okay, what happened was that God, the minute I received Christ, then all things started working together for good. But my past is just doing me in. And I understand, because my past was an ugly past. My past was a past that was something that I never dreamed I would have, never dreamed I would participate in, never dreamed I'd be divorced, never dreamed I'd be a single mother. Never dreamed that I'd be in the workforce, earning a living for my children, and never ever dreamed that my husband would commit suicide, never dreamed that I would be an immoral woman, never dreamed any of that. And so when you come to this verse and you say, oh, you're promising me that you're going to keep on causing all things to work together for good because I love you, because you called me, because you have a purpose for my life, you know, and we think it starts there, and we think it starts there because of Romans 8:28. No, 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 no. Listen to verse 29. It says, for whom he foreknew. Whom God knew beforehand. God wasn't surprised when you showed up on your knees and knocked at the door and said, God, I'm yours. I'm yours. Here I am. I'm your servant. God didn't say, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with you now? God foreknew you, because remember, his dominion is from everlasting to everlasting. Remember, he is omnipresent. Remember, he is omniscient. He is all-knowing. So whom he foreknew, it says he also predestined. Now that word predestined, a lot of people don't like it because they don't have a biblical understanding of predestination. But it's they look at that verb and they say, he predestined? What do you mean? It means that he marked out beforehand. He marked out beforehand. Whom God foreknew, he knew you beforehand. Whom God foreknew, he predestined. He marked out beforehand you and me for one purpose, and that is to be conformed to the image of his Son. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, knew beforehand, he knew beforehand before the foundation of the world, that you were going to be his. Not because you decided to choose him, because in John 15:16, Jesus said, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I ordained you that you should go and that you should bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. So here is God's promise to his children. In Ephesians chapter 1, and I want you to go there, and you may have heard me teach this before, but you need to hear it again. Blessed, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He, God, chose us, you and me, if we're believers, in Him when? Before the foundation of the world. God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Well, let's go back and look at some other verses on the sovereignty of God. And I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 44. And I want us to look in, Isaiah chapter 43. And I want us to look at verse 13. And we're going to run just a few verses. It says in verse 13, even from eternity, God is speaking, I am He, and there is none who can deliver out of my hand. And He says, no one can ward off God's hand. I act, and who can reverse it? In other words, once God does something, then no one can reverse it. So what are you going to do? You can't reverse your past, can you? God knows about your past. It's not that He caused you to sin. You were born in sin. You chose to sin. But you can't reverse your past. But God can take your past because He's sovereign, and He can cause all things to work together for good. Go to Psalm 103. Psalm 103. And in Psalm 103, I want us to look at verses 1 to 5. It says, I'm just looking at the wrong psalm. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. Now, what are His benefits? He pardons all your iniquities. He will forgive all your sins. This is what believing in Christ is all about, and receiving Him, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. Now, this is what He's saying. And now I want you to go to Psalm 103. Verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens, and His sovereignty rules over all. You've heard me making that statement. Well, you can see that it's straight from Psalm 103, verse 19. It says, bless the Lord, you His angels, mighty in strength, who perform His word. Remember, He does according to His will among the army of heaven, obeying the voice of His word. Bless the Lord, all you hosts, you who serve Him, doing His will. Bless the Lord, all you works of His, in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Beloved, today, no matter what your circumstances are, whether it's difficulty on the job, whether it's difficulty at home, whether it's problems with the kids, whether it's battling with singleness and battling with a sexual desire that you cannot legitimately fulfill, whatever it is, beloved, you can bless the Lord, O my soul. And you can know that His sovereignty rules over all. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah chapter 14, in verse 24, we find this marvelous, darling, this marvelous verse. And it's 24 to 27. It says, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand. Now He's talking about breaking the rod of Assyria. Then it comes down in verse 27, and it says, the Lord of hosts has planned, and who can frustrate it? And His outstretched hand, who can turn it back? Daniel chapter 4, who can ward off the hand of God? Go to Isaiah chapter 46, and let's look at verse 8. Isaiah chapter 46, and I want us to look at verse 8. Remember this and be assured. Recall it to mind, you transgressors, those that have goofed, those that have sinned. Remember the former things long past. For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things which has not been done, saying, my purpose will be established, and I will accomplish all my good pleasures. Now, go back one chapter, Isaiah chapter 45. And Isaiah chapter 45, at the end of verse 6, in the beginning of verse 7, it says this, I, that men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun, that there is no one besides me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness. The one causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the one who does all these things. He creates well-being and he creates calamity or adversity. You say, that's not fair. Listen, he's God. Bow the knee. I want you to go to John chapter 11. Now there, John chapter 19. There are many other verses that we could look at, but I want you to see that although God is sovereign, we are accountable. In John chapter 19, verse 11, it says, Jesus answered, this is Pilate, and Pilate is saying in verse 10, do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you? I'm the governor. I'm the governor of Jerusalem. I have the authority to release you. I have the authority to crucify you. Talk to me. Answer me. And Jesus hadn't answered him a word. But now Jesus does. He says this. Jesus answered, you would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me up to you, listen, has the greater sin. In other words, he is going to be held more accountable than you. Yes, God is in charge. And we're going to see more and more as we go on in Daniel that God's sovereignty rules over all. But we're also going to see that God holds us accountable. You say, I can't put them together in my mind. Beloved, you don't have to. God doesn't expect you to. God simply expects you to bow the knee and say, God, that's what you say. So I am going to rest in your sovereignty, and I am going to live in the fact that I am accountable to you, and that someday, even as a Christian, I will stand at the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the deeds done in my body. You're a holy God, and as a holy God who is far wiser than I submit to you, and I acknowledge who you are, and I thank you so much that you can be trusted, that you are in charge.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.